Hello, you are listening to the Bethel Atlanta Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.
All right, how's everyone doing? It's been a great morning already, hasn't it? Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to sharing this morning. We kind of started this, talking about this. December 31st, I did a message called Aligning with Your Purpose. And it had to do with a little, like, our purpose is to be an influence to the world, bring message of the gospel, bring heaven to earth, and where our feet go. Everything's kind of what you just heard Lauren sharing. So did a message then, aligning with our purpose. We did one in February called Why Are We Restoring Cities? You're going to get me trying to talk about stuff that I'm not ready to talk about. I hear it. I can feel it. God's heart for restoration, that we can go through from Genesis to Revelation and hear all of the stories of, you know, different cities that he sent prophets to restore, that different missions and mandates that he gave different people throughout the whole book that has to do with restoring and reconciling people, reconciling cities, reconciling all creation. It says in Romans 8, right? All creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God so that we would actually breathe the part of bringing freedom, to setting freedom free, creation itself. Romans 8. So all the way through to Revelation 11:15, where it says that the end goal, that the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdom of our God. The kingdoms of this world would become the kingdom of our God. And if we have an eschatology, see, you did get me talking about it. If we have an eschatology, an end times thinking that says we're going to be rescued and escape, then it doesn't lend itself for us to partner with heaven to actually bring change to the world. Because we're just waiting to leave. But God's heart for restoration has been throughout the Bible, almost every story you can pick. It has to do with restoring people, restoring creation. The original mandate was take dominion of the earth, take dominion of and subdue the earth. It means to bring it under your dominion as like a king. It's kingly language. As a king would bring it under the kingdom under its own domain, take responsibility for it, subdue it, is to bring it under your influence, not to put it under your thumb, but to subdue is to bring it under your influence, to influence. And the original mandate was take Eden and make it the rest of the world look like it. And so this is his heart, and his heartbeat, we hear it in Matthew 6, where it says, pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth, just as it is in heaven. His kingdom would come on the earth, just as it is in heaven, that his will would be done on the earth. And what's his will? That all should be saved. What's his will? Jesus says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? Authority. To subdue and bring under its dominion the earth and creation itself to Adam and Eve. That was lost. Communion with the Lord, to walk and talk in the cool of the day, was lost. Jesus came and restored more than just getting souls saved. It's actually all creation. And now we know in Romans 8, all creation's been waiting for us to figure it out. Right? For us to figure it out. Like, oh, this is my responsibility. So this is his heartbeat. So we talked about God's heart for restoration, his heart for creation. We talked about the context that this is happening. We can't solve first and second heaven problems with first and second heaven solutions. We need to have third heaven solutions for second heaven problems. When there's principalities and strongholds over a region or strongholds over our mind, we have to have third heaven, the kingdom. We have to have third heaven solutions to break those. That's where we carry authority. You might have to go back and listen to those messages. I can feel it. We can't solve first heaven problems, the world problems, the natural problems that we find ourselves in. Sickness, disease, we can't solve politics. We can't solve issues in government. We can't solve issues in their education system. We can come up with our best, you know, where they say there's no such thing as a free lunch. So anything you come up with is going to cost you somewhere else. When we're thinking of worldly thinking, first heaven thinking, we sit in heavenly places, it says in Ephesians. We are citizens of heaven, it says. That we're a bi-dimensional being, that you're in the natural, where you are in your seat right now, but in your spirit, you are seated in heavenly places. You exist there the moment you accepted Jesus and your spirit came alive. Your eternal life began. So we sit there. That's where we get solutions, the ways of the kingdom, the ways of the Father. That's where we get the solutions that are needed and required for a broken world, for broken people. That's where we can cast out sickness and devils, and we can cast out demons, and we can break people free, as we read in Isaiah 61, that this is where we become, how we become restored. Because it happens through a supernatural transaction that takes place from heaven. It takes place from the kingdom. We can't naturally come up with our best idea, even though once we start going down this road, we realize that my ideas become like God's ideas because I have a renewed mind and I start to think like him. Right? As we go, as we renew our mind. Okay. So that's the context that this is happening. And then we talked about John 4. It's the most practical, easiest way to get a hold of how this works, of how we change the world. Jesus was tired and he was thirsty. That's it. He was tired and thirsty. He sat and he asked someone for a drink of water. He began to prophesy over her, give her words, tell her words of knowledge. She ends up getting her mail read. She ends up encountering Jesus. She goes and tells the city, and the city comes, and they come to know Jesus because he was tired and thirsty. The thing of it is he was tired and thirsty, but he still showed up. We can be tired and thirsty and sit there and really just be concerned with ourselves. But he still showed up knowing his assignment was to bring heaven to earth. And you have an invitation. Kim, I'm so glad you shared that testimony. That's like teeing me up really well. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. It looks like everyday people doing extraordinary things. Why? Because we are heavenly people. We're heavenly minded, and we know our assignment is to release heaven wherever we go. So we're looking for it. Like we're attentive. When I'm in the shops, or I'm in a coffee shop, or if I'm in my workplace, it's not just the Monday blues. It's the Monday morning I get to show up and see what the Lord's going to do today, and what's he going to do through me, and who gets to encounter heaven through me. Because he has a desire for all people to be reconciled back to him. Right? We are ambassadors of reconciliation. Like we've been literally been given the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile, bring people back into the favor of God. Like that's our assignment. So those are some things we talked about. Yeah? So there's about three messages. If you want to go back and listen to them on the podcast, I'd encourage you. This is part four. Of kind of this series, because you know we get into this, it's like an onion, right? You got like another layer and another layer. There's an element of, you know, me being aware that when I'm tired and thirsty and I'm in a coffee shop that I can, you know, be turned on spiritually and be ready to respond to what he's doing. It could be a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge. It might just be a hug. It might just be an encouraging word. Believe it or not, that changes people's lives. Like Tarek was just sharing a testimony with me yesterday. They went and did Operation Donut Drop yesterday, and the testimonies of just showing up, like some people are responding like, really? You came just to bless us? Like this isn't hard work. We just have to get over ourselves. Make some time for it. Go out there. Show up in the community. Bring something. Ask for prayer, and then these got people crying, and they're got tears, and they're encountering the love of a father. They're encountering heaven. With donuts. It's not rocket science. It's actually, it's because it's you. Because the kingdom of heaven is in you. And if you show up, not just be not just be there, but show up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're on. You're like, okay, what are you doing here, Lord? What's happening? If we just show up, the kingdom of heaven is going to leak out of you because you've been transformed. And if you've been transformed, the world around you will become transformed if you show up. We can shut it off and just do our day-to-day, 9 to 5, right? Pick up the kids, take them to soccer, get them ready for bed, do a bath, bed, bath, and beyond, if you're married. Right? This is fun. This is school ministry stuff. And get up in the next morning and do it again. Get her coffee, do the thing, do the grind. We talked about this one of the last messages. We got to be careful that there's a danger in us just being Christians that are experiencing the blessed life and live a blessed life and not actually respond to the blessed freely we've been received, so freely we give, respond to the world that's dying around us that's needing what it is that we carry. Because we carry faith and we carry hope and we carry love and we carry peace. We carry these attributes of the kingdom that the world around us is in dire need of. And all we got to do is just speak up. All we got to do is just engage. I had a testimony this week where a guy was in a coffee shop and he was going to just grab a coffee and go. And he's like, felt like I was supposed to stay, and ends up hearing a conversation about how kind of crazy the world is in this time. And he's like, hey, when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring peace. And the response was, I could really use that. He ends up talking to her and ministering to her and then leading her to the Lord. Because he didn't took time out of his day to respond to the Lord. Like, let's sit here and have a coffee instead of take off. Which might have been easier. I got stuff to do, places to go, people to see. But now someone has been brought into the kingdom as a result. We carry peace. We carry wisdom. We carry truth. We carry joy. We carry hope. Kindness. We carry belief, celebration. We celebrate, man. If you get where you just celebrate people, yeah. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how powerful that is? You just come alongside and believe in people more than they believe in themselves. Celebrate their victories and their triumphs. Comfort them when they're in times of trouble. This almost sounds biblical, right? There might be verses for this. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Mourn, right? Like it's not complicated. And it's actually it's a delight when you see someone encounter the presence of God or encounter their countenance change or they come alive or they start going after something that they were dreaming into their whole life and you came alongside and believed in them more than they believed in themselves. And then they start doing things that they didn't think was possible simply because you showed up in their life. That's so powerful. It's kind of addicting, to be honest. I'm like, man, we can light people up like this. This is awesome. I want to see this happen. Because when we light people up like that and believe in them more than they believe in themselves, and they start doing things they didn't know was possible, they start doing the things and the promises that God has on for their life. And you're a part of their journey and seeing that come to pass. You guys good this morning? You guys awake? You got your notebooks out? Maybe. I think most important thing to know when we're talking about showing up, when we're talking about restoring cities, you know, we say restoring cities and it's like, that's Isaiah 61, right? We become oaks of righteousness and then we go and restore the former devastations. Like that sounds like a big assignment, right? Like we're like looking at Atlanta, like we're gonna restore the whole city. Like that feels a little bit daunting, doesn't it? Like, are we going to be able to really get in there and restore the cities? And then we probably immediately think, okay, well, you know, we'll think kind of like the 7 spheres of influence. Like, well, I got to get to the top of the mountain. I got to get up into the influencers. Because if we can influence the influencers and the influencers will then release the kingdom. And that's not wrong. But I think the most important thing to note and really just to take at first step is it's just about people. It's just about people. The city is the people. We all are around a lot of people. It's just you and the people you're around. That's it. It's not hard. It's just about people and people experiencing the love of the Father, people experiencing what you've experienced. Freely you've been given to receive, so freely you give. Like your testimony is a sign and a wonder. The miracles that God has done through you, your encounters with the presence of God and the transformation that has taken place in your life is the sign and the wonder. What's Paul say? We are the word of God known and read by all men. It's our lives are the testimony. Our life is the message. And we release that to the people. People experience breakthrough. They experience comfort when they're mourning. They experience a garland of joy instead of ashes, right? It sounds like Isaiah 61. Do we need to read it? Yes, let's go. Isaiah 61, we'll read it. Boss said yes, so we gotta go. She hates that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they would be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, and they will raise up former devastations, and they will restore the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. There's a lot in there. We're not going to do a line-by-line study, but man, we could spend a lot of time in this, just that one section right there. This is our assignment, and it just about people. People experiencing the kingdom of heaven through you. That comes through love. It comes through blessing people instead of cursing them. It comes through felt needs, when people just need a couch, even if they're in Cambodia, and we got to kind of organize that and find a way. I'll bet Kim could do it. If anybody could do it, she could do it. Like, even the felt needs. I mean, this is the one of the, Tarek, our outreach coordinator, one of the things, you know, one of the goals we have this year for us as a house is that we have a presence in our local community. So that's why we do Operation Donut Drop. He's made inroads and connections with several different places. Real Life Center is an organization that gives food away. Loading boxes of food into a truck is an absolutely amazing way to serve our community. Yeah. Well, this doesn't have the fireworks. It's like, no, but this is what it looks like. Jesus came into the world and put a towel over his arm, and he served first. He served humanity. And who knows, you might catch someone by the truck at the end of it, and you're now bringing a word of knowledge and prophecy and encouraging word to somebody, and now they got tears because they just needed to be seen. Yeah. They just need to know that the Lord knows that they exist. Yeah. And we get to show up like that because we know he exists. Our lives have been changed because of it. It's just about people. And when we start influencing and bringing the kingdom to people, people experience a change, a transformation, an encounter with heaven. When the people of Atlanta experience a change, an encounter with heaven, I promise you Atlanta will look different. Yes. And it'll be less about some global strategy to touch cities, which those things happen. That's fun stuff. We can get to that. But we're talking just really simple stuff. The people are the people of Atlanta. The people is the city of Atlanta. It just starts with people. Can we just love people? Can we just bring a comforting word, a hug, an encouraging word, believe in them more than they believe themselves, celebrate them? What else? I mean, we're talking about the kingdom, right? It's so vast. Bring truth, bring wisdom, bring solutions, bring generosity, bring healing. This is what we get to do as people who are not of this world. Because these things are our norm. The fruit of the Spirit isn't a checklist to become a better Christian. The fruit of the Spirit is the byproduct of being a Christian, of being a follower of Jesus, of walking in a renewed mind. The fruit of the Spirit is is what actually touches the world. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. This is what the world needs. It's a byproduct of us being followers of Jesus. And if we're followers of Jesus and we show up when we're tired and thirsty, a city might come to know him. You guys, so you guys with me? We all here? The assignment, if we're wondering, okay, Dan, I get to just be aware. What's the Lord doing in my workplace? Yep, that, you know, that lady down in the cubicle the other end has been highlighted to me for like a month. I know she's going through a hard time with her kids. Guess what? There you go. That's it. Just go give an encouraging word. Hear the Lord. Lord, what do you have to say? If you need to hear the Lord, Blake is going to be doing a prophetic training class soon. And I want to encourage you, go to this class. Like one of my most favorite things about prophetic training, which I thought was very much of a joke when I first experienced it, right? Like when I first came in this culture, I'm like, you do what? You hear the Lord and then you practice? You guys are off your rocker. Legitimately, that was my response. And then 2 years later, I'm the one doing the training. I'm doing all the classes. Like, you got to hear the Lord. Well, because one of the things I loved the most about it was I was going to learn how to hear the Lord so I could get an accurate word for somebody else. But what ended up happening was I actually began to have a relationship with the Lord for me. Because now I could hear him. So be equipped. Be equipped. We got classes. Get equipped. Go after being equipped with prophetic training and healing training and whatever we can. Like get trained so that we can respond as a normal in our everyday life. So the assignment then is, or like where we're pointing this, if we're going to get a little bit strategic, is we just read, they'll be rebuild ancient ruins, raise up former devastations, they will repair or restore ruined cities. Destruction is a good place to target. When we see destruction, when we look around in our life and in our places of influence and we see things that don't line up with the ways of God, when we see people experiencing steal, kill, destroy, the enemy's assignment is to steal, kill, and destroy. God says, I have given to give life and life abundantly. Amen. So when we see steal, kill, and destroy, people getting robbed, their kids in addiction, or we see divorces happening, or when we see, disease and sickness, when we see people experiencing less than the promise of God that's over their life, that's a target. That's a target. They need hope. They need courage. They need comfort. They need peace. We carry it all. Amen. And if we don't, let's go get it. Yeah. Right? We give away what we have. Like if we don't have peace, get into the presence of God and get it. Yeah. Like this is, we talked about this in some of our other messages. It's the transformed life that transforms cities. Yeah. Like if I'm experiencing, knowing there's something someone needs and I don't have it or I don't have faith for it, and it's okay to be honest about that, then direct them somewhere they can get it. When we see destruction, when we see hopelessness, we are the hope carriers. Like we know the person of hope. That when we experience or find ourselves in places where there's hopelessness or fatherlessness, sickness, disease, injustice, despair, desolation, poverty. Oh. This is our targets. The enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy. Wherever we see people experiencing steal, kill, and destroy. Like my family back home went through my dad lost his girlfriend for about 30 years. So she's more than a girlfriend, I guess. Kind of a stepmom. But 30 years. And so she passed away, and there were some situations that happened where, you know, some of my family members had some needs from my dad. Like, he needed him to show up in a certain way in this time, in this moment. And I'm, you know, I know my family real well. I'm 3,000 miles away, and I'm like, oh, danger. My dad's not going to be able to meet those needs, and I know this. And I'm like, start trying to, like, counsel some of my family from afar. I'm like, you guys, if you're expecting this from him, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna cause something, and unforgiveness and bitterness and sickness and disease is gonna set in, and it'll carry through our family line. This is the moment we get to stop it. This moment right here. You have to adjust. You have to forgive. You have to, if we don't do this, it's gonna affect. We're gonna hear, and I mean, I told him, like, I've got grandparents. We told stories about this, people like this. And I go, he's gonna become the story for my kids. If we don't do this now, like when we see steal, kill, and destroy, when we see it start to happen in our own homes, in our own families, in the families around us, like we're the ones that carry the solutions. We carry it, not because we're amazing thinkers, just because we are from another world. We carry the King of Kings. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is inside of us. Either we believe it or we don't, right? If we believe it, then we live like it. If I think it and don't behave it, I don't believe it. Yes, it's possible to think things you don't believe and to believe things you don't think. Just because you think it doesn't mean you believe it. You know how you believe it? It shows up in your life. It's a fruit. Show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works, James said. That's what that means. Your faith is the works in your life is a product of what you believe, not what you think. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of us. We have it. We have solutions to bring to the table because we have the mind of Christ, Paul says. We have the mind of Christ. We think otherworldly. We think his thoughts. Right? In Corinthians it says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard. It hasn't even entered the heart of man, the things that I have planned for you, says the Lord. But it has been given to you to know the things of the Spirit because the same Spirit of him lives and resides in you. So it's actually been given us to know those things that we would say, man, I don't know, eyes have never seen, ears never heard. We don't have no idea what's going to come. No, he says, yeah, you have my Spirit, so it's actually been given to you to know now. So it's not even up to us to come up, but we just need to show up. All right. You're going to be ranting a little bit. We'll get into that one later. So here's the scoop. If you show up and then you come with a servant heart, like we just have the privilege to serve humanity, the privilege to serve our community, our friends, our families, to serve, to go low, as Heidi would say, right? We go low. Like, we have a privilege to show up, to serve. I promise you what you will experience is favor. You will experience favor because you went low and you didn't come in, you know, like, I'm going to change your workplace because I have the strategies and divine blueprints from heaven that were given to me last night. So, boss, put me in charge so I can make this place look like heaven. That's not how that works. Right? That's not how that works. No, actually, I just get to go in and serve. I get to go in and make them better. I just get to help make people better. Chris said this in a book I was reading recently. He said that our spiritual intelligence spiritual intelligence must lead us to improve the state of the world. We're just here to make it better, make it look like heaven. Okay. So you'll grow in favor. You'll grow in favor. And that favor will grow, it will cause you to come into a place where you have influence. And when you when you walk in a place of influence and you are the kingdom inside of you, Luke 17, the kingdom of heaven is within you, when you're there, then the solutions and values and the ways of the Father show up in your everyday life, now in a place of influence. Yeah, we can just get to love our coworkers and bless them, but when we show up with a heart of going low and serving, I promise you, you will find yourself sitting at tables you had no idea were even possible. Because the world is hungry for the ways of God. They just haven't seen it and experienced it. All they've been is told about it. They don't need to be told any more information. The people around you need to be told no more information. We have all the information we can find. I love it. Now, if I'm looking for a verse, I just Google it. I don't have to go to a Strong's lexicon dictionary thing to try to, you know, find where this verse is. It's like, their information's all out there. They don't need information. They need experience. They need to experience the love of God. They need to experience the presence of God. They need to experience comfort, joy, peace, real, genuine peace. Not peacemaking, not peacekeeping, peacemaking. Peace that comes from another world, not just like making sure everybody's like, you know, putting up with each other. No, a peace that comes in where actual genuine love and connection, this is where unity is going to happen. It comes from a love from another world, not from us managing people. So you'll grow, I don't remember where I was at there, but you'll grow in a place of favor where you'll find yourself in a place of influence and you'll be sitting at tables. This is like a next layer. There's layers to this, right? This is the next layer. You'll find yourself in places of influence that you wouldn't have imagined were even possible. So I've got a background in business, and I'm just going to tell some stories. I got a background in business. And, you know, one of the most kingdom things about the business world in and of itself is that they carry a kingdom piece, which is you give back to your community, right? Every business does this. This is just business strategy. It's business 101. If you took a small business class, you would learn you have to give back to the community that are serving you, right, that you are patronizing you. So they give back. So I joined a Rotary International. Have you guys familiar with Rotary International? It's like a service. It's a service club that helps the community. So this is common business practice. I'm like, I'm going to join this club and just be about serving our community. This will be an excellent place to network. So I'm doing this because it's a business. Now I'm learning about kingdom stuff here in the same time, in this timeline. I'm learning about kingdom. I'm learning about changing the world, you know, when heaven invades earth. I'm learning about our mission and mandate to serve cities. And so, but I'm not really making the connection. So my first meeting, I'm sitting in there, and I'm like sitting there. There's like council people there. There's fire chief is there. The police chief is there. There's like, I'm like looking around the room, and I'm realizing the decision makers that are making the decisions in my city are sitting in this room, and I'm the only kingdom thinking believer here. It's not that there's not believers. But as Lance Wallnau says, it's not enough to be a believer. You must be a kingdom believer. Because the kingdom believers know that their job is to bring heaven to earth and restore cities. And I'm looking around the room and I'm like, I'm the only one here. We're not here. That was my response. We aren't here in the place that makes the decisions. And so I just started serving in that club. And then eventually joined the chamber, again, a chamber of commerce. It was, again, another, like, business practice just to network. And I joined this chamber, and then I get a call. And I remember I was on a ski lift, and I get a call. And she says, hey, I just became president of the board of the chamber. And wondering if you want to, would you like to serve a term as being one of the board of directors? And I was like, sure. I don't know anything about what I'm getting ready to do, but sure, why not? I'm like recognizing immediate influence, favor. So I said yes. So I show up. Guess what? The first meeting, you guys, I can't begin to tell you how easy this is. The first meeting, we're in a strategic workshop, dreaming 20 years into the future over our city. The question on the table is, what would you like it to look like in 20 years? And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What? So I sit there, well, Lord, what do you want to see? And I start writing on this big white, you know, board paper, the things. These things start getting we outwork them and create a 20-year vision and, you know, strategy, 10, 5, 10, 15-year strategy. And the things that I dreamed with the Lord are in that town, and there are people now, today, 20 years later, doing it, working it out, bringing it to pass, because I sat in there as a kingdom believer thinking, Lord, what do you want to see, and having a place of influence to do it. And not because I, like, muscled my way in there. There's just favor if we show up. I soon became president of that board, and you know, I ended up running, like, the three main big events we had in our town, citywide events. And I remember just showing up. We'd incorporate some of our school ministry students into helping do things. And, I mean, just showing up, being a place of influence and bringing peace. And I remember lots of feedback of, like, man, this event has never been so peaceful, and this is like a 30-year event. It's never been so peaceful as it is this year. I'm like, great. I didn't do anything. I'm like, okay, God, we're going to really change and do stuff. I'm just like showing up, because the kingdom of heaven will leak out of you if you show up. It's just in you. And so I'd find myself, I'd meet people, you know, on our board. I remember giving them, you know, believers. I'd give them Supernatural Ways of Royalty. I'm starting to give them different books. And they're like, man, I remember this believer. He came back to me and he goes, have you read this book? I go, yeah, I read this book. He goes, do you think we can really be like the things that we read in this book? And I said, yes, I know we can. He's like, this is saying some things. I'm like, I know. And so people just start getting impacted and changed because I showed up as a business person trying to make more money. That was my objective. And what it ended up being was I was, you know, it covertly influencing the world around me with the kingdom, because it has changed me. It can't not change the things I touch. We have to show up. Follow your favor. Watch what happens. Oh, and then I had this one gal on the board. She goes, hey, mind you, I'm like 29 years old. Like, who's given a 29-year-old, like responsibility like this? Not John. I'm not. So I'm on this board, and one of the board members goes, hey, I'm on a board for a school board, our local school board. You guys live in our district, and we just had a ballot measure come through, and they've awarded us $5 million, and we need to, listen to this, guys, we need to decide how to spend this money the best way as possible for our community, and we'd love for you to be on the board to help us make those decisions. I'm like, so then I had to tell her, I'm like, hey, I take my kids to a different school. I like inter-district transfer my kids to another school. So I'm like, sorry, I'm not even in this school, even though I live in this district. She goes, that's okay. We actually just want you. I'm like, oh my gosh, what in the world? Like, we couldn't have strategized. I couldn't have strategized my way into places of influence that I found myself in, sitting in the mayor's home, sitting here thinking, and I've got his ear, and I'm encouraging him. I'm thinking, I couldn't have strategized my way in here. It's so easy. But we have to get over ourselves, because we got to not be thinking about us. We got to be thinking about them. We got to show up and be on. What are you doing, Lord? And paying attention, following favor. All the meanwhile, we're right doing ministry. I'm doing church. I'm doing business. I'm doing all the things that we all normally do. But now we just get to change the world as we go and show up and be an influence. Oh, this one meeting I took, we went to, I had a chamber lunch, and Eddie, you guys know Eddie, right? You guys see Eddie around? Eddie was my intern at the time. So this is like 2010. Eddie was my intern, and I'm going to a chamber lunch. I don't even think I was on the board at this time. I was just dumbfounded at how easy it was to bring the kingdom to the world. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to bring you to lunch. You got two assignments. Look for what's kingdom. Just watch. The world's doing it. The kingdom will happen by the world's hands if we stand by. I want you to know. I watched it happen, because God will have his way. But we get to show up and bring something supernatural to an environment that other people will do with good ideas. But we get to bring heavenly ideas. So I said, look for what's happening. And then I said, and look for a way to get involved. Watch what happens. So he shows up. I kid you not. The lady doing the keynote presentation, first thing was, the whole title of the presentation was Prosperity 2010. And I was like, okay. They've done an assessment on the community to attack poverty in our area and to readdress the industry, kind of what the industries that were kind of going down and how to like put emphasis on other industries to revitalize our economy in our area. They weren't a believer. This is a business lunch. That's what they're doing. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, this is it. And then she says, we have no one from your town to represent your town when we go after this. And we've got 3 seats on a board that we would love for anybody in this community to be a part of to help us do this initiative. I'm like, but it's so easy. It's there. There's people. We were just at a fundraiser over the holidays here in Fayette County in Peachtree City, and I went with Brent and a bunch of groups and business stuff, and I'm like, this is like my most fun spot, because people in the business community know how to celebrate people, they know how to raise money for things that are needed, they know how to do things. I mean, it's very kingdom. So it's one of my favorite things to get in there, be a part, throw money at it as much as I can, like spend stupid money on a cake because I know that's going to help kids get backpacks loaded next week or throughout the next year that are in need. We just need to show up. And I get excited about it because I'm like, this is it. This is kingdom. You guys, all right? Okay, I'm supposed to be done. Everyone is a candidate. Everyone in our community is a target for God's love. There are no exceptions. The testimonies of radical transformation come from every sector of society in every conceivable place. School, work, home, the malls, the stores, even parks, streets, and homeless camps. Why not? Or why? There is a growing company of people who have the Father's business in mind, and they consciously take him wherever they go. Yeah. And then Chris says it like this. I think I read this last time. We are God's secret agents disguised as doctors, housewives, mechanics, computer programmers, school teachers, business managers. We're part of a covert kingdom. We're powerful believers concealed as everyday people, strategically assigned to serve society while simultaneously destroying the works of the devil. Our very lives are a sign and wonder. Not only do we have the message, we are the message. To know us is to love us. We are the fruit of God's love, the manifestation of his person. So if you're a business owner in this room, I charge you and implore you, you should be in your community. Just simply as a business strategic move. But watch what happens when you show up. You show up at Kiwanis Service Club, Rotary National Service Club, Chamber Service Clubs. Brent and I are part of a business networking group. One of the contractors we get does work around here, and he works with Katie a lot. And one of his last weeks, he's like, man, what is up with those people? What is it with you people? Like you, Dan, Brent, John Donaldson. It's like, man, are you guys on something? You guys on shrooms? Like, what's happening over there? Like, genuinely, like he can recognize you're all so happy. There's something about you. If you're a business person, I implore you, be involved in your community somewhere. Serve your community. You know, I didn't say it, but in one of those, I was running one of those events, and I'm sitting there with a councilman, and we're cutting flowers for the event. I'm like, we're just putting centerpieces together. And he says, do you ever think about running for council? And I was like, well, I've thought about it. And he's like, you should. I think you should run for council. And I'm like, if you knew me, what I did in this town, and now I'm flipping burgers for the chief of police, who was the one chasing me back when I was in high school, and now you want me to be on the city council. We just need to show up. Respond to what the Lord's doing. Follow your favor. Watch what happens. Like, when we have opportunities to get involved in our community, whether it's through Donut Drop or serving, anything you see coming through that outreach, just know that that's all very intentional about us being a local presence in our community. And that's us getting, that's us as a family getting involved in our community. The other charge is for you personally to find a way to show up, whether it's at the park or at a grocery store, just be in a tune. Lord, what are you saying and what do you want to do while I'm here getting bread? And my kid's having a meltdown. I get it. It's real life. But I implore us, like this is where our call is to change the world and change Atlanta and see Atlanta being impacted. And the only way it does it is our yes. Our yes in our everyday. Yeah. Everyday people doing extraordinary things. And you guys, this is not an event. It's a lifestyle. Yeah. It's not an event. Events are great, but that's not where it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen as a lifestyle. It's our everyday way of life. We bring the kingdom where we go. All right, when you guys stand. We're going to have the ministry team come down. Put your hands out. Lord, we just say yes, yes, yes. Lord, I say, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us an acute awareness and attentiveness in our everyday comings and goings that we are on and ready to respond to what you're highlighting to us. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, convict us and charge us in our yes and what our yes is to. Give us eyes for our assignments even. Give us eyes to see where the steal, kill, and destroy is happening around us, or where the things around us, destruction and desolation and despair and hopelessness and fatherlessness. Lord, give us eyes to see it so we can respond with the love of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's have some more of our ministry team come down. If I want to encourage you, if you come with a need in your body, we have we are going hard after seeing autoimmune disease healed. We want to see this healed in our house. It's a no autoimmune disease zone. Like it cannot exist here. So if you got anything like that going on in your body, come down. We want to pray for that and contend. And I get it. Sometimes you're like, well, I didn't get my miracle, but we need to contend before we see the one. Then we see the one, we'll see the second one. And then the second, we'll see the fifth one. Like, we got to get this ball going, but we got to contend for it. So I want to ask you to be brave and courageous in your contention for things that are, like, going on in your body that maybe, it's hard, right? It's hard sometimes when we don't get our breakthrough. But let's fight together as a family after that. So come down, anything in your body. So, can we get some of our ministry team down here more, please? Anything in your body that we can pray for that is a sickness, disease, cancer, anything like that. We want to go after that and see healing. We need to see it reconciled. If you've got any mental stuff going on, mental anxiety, anguish, cloudiness, fogginess, if there's any sort of mental stuff going on, we want to go after that and see that healed. So please come down for that. And then if you just want to get a touch from the Lord or get encouraged and just, you know, I want to get just experience more of God. And, you know, the beautiful thing about encounters is, like it says in Corinthians, when we see him, we become like him. That's my version of it. When we see him, we become like him. So when we encounter him, it's actually a spirit-to-spirit thing that's taking place. So come down, get a touch from the Lord, and let's contend after miracles. Amen? All right. Blessings on you guys. Love you all. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. To stay connected with Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.